25. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful for the presence of your Spirit that is here this morning. And we have experienced some tremendous times in our church these past couple weeks, and we have reached the mountaintops of euphoric praise and the pinnacle of salvation, and we have wallowed around in the depths of grief and sorrow. But Lord Jesus, you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we wait in your presence today in worship, and we wait in your presence now in the Word. And we wait, O God, for the strengthening of your Holy Spirit to come, to bring calm to the storm. We continue to row, O God. We continue to bail the water out of the boat. And because we know, Lord Jesus, if we'll just keep rowing and if we'll just keep bailing, we know, God, that you'll come walking on the water in due time. We wait upon you today during this time of the Word. Jesus, if you're waiting on the Lord in the Word today, you want to hear something from God, would you say amen?
Amen.
You are going to hear a word from the Lord. If you'll open up your heart today, God is going to speak something into your life. Amen. A certain woman had an issue of blood 12 years. I'm here to tell you today, folks, that just because you've lived in a certain condition and state of heart and mind, if you're looking for a sermon title, good luck. I couldn't find one. Well, I found one, and then I found another one, and then I found another one, and then I found another one. So you just make one up for yourself today and go with it, because God's going to give you a word out of what I've got to say today. I think Brother Patrick called it shotgun preach. We're going to shotgun preach today, and it's going to hit you. There ain't no way to escape when you get hit with a shotgun. If it's just one shot, you might duck and then miss, but when it's a shotgun, baby, you're going to get hit somewhere today. God's going to talk to you. I don't care how many years that it has been that you have dealt with situations in your life. I don't care. And God doesn't care how many years it's been since you suffered under the afflictions in your body, in your spirit, in your mind. Time is of no meaning to God. He does not dwell in time. He is not affected by time. He is not affected by the intransience of your situation. When Jesus' power gets a hold of you, it doesn't matter if you were born that way like the lame man. It doesn't matter if you were born that way like a blind man. Jesus healed a lame man that was born that way. He'd been up to 40 years old, but God healed him. Jesus healed a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. He got that way because he sinned and got himself into trouble, caught a disease, was doing stuff he wasn't supposed to do, and got himself crippled and lame. But God healed him too anyway. And he'd been like that for decades and decades. And there was another woman with an infirmity, a spiritual infirmity that rested on her for nearly two decades. But God healed her. I'm here to tell you, you may have been dealing with things in your life. There are situations that have rested on you. There are trials and tribulations and mental anguishes and physical pains and things that may have troubled you for years and years, decades, and maybe even since you were born. Sometimes we don't have control over the things that happen to us in our lives. We don't have control over what our parents do when we're in the womb. We don't have control over what our parents do when we're being raised. We're innocent and we're young, and we are so vulnerable to the things that happen to for our whole entire lives. And I'm here to tell you today that a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years was no match for the power of Jesus Christ. And His power flowed in her body. She was instantaneously healed by God's power of grace. And I'm here to tell you today that it doesn't matter how long you've carried this weight around. It doesn't matter how long you've battled with sin. It doesn't matter how long you've been sick. I'm here to tell you that when the power of Jesus gets a hold of you, God is going to change your situation instantaneously.
Persian onions, 3 logs or pints, and boil them in wine and give her to drink. Boy, how'd you like to have some onion wine to help you get better? Lois starts prescribing onion wine. It might be time to look for you a new doctor. Where was I at here?
Onion wine.
And then he says the magic words, arise from thy flux. And if this does not cure her, send her in a place where two ladies are really going to love this one. I'm going to try this one on the next woman that comes for prayer. Put her in a place where two roads come together. And I need to get my bigger glasses on. And let her hold a cup of wine in her right hand and let someone come behind and frighten her. And say the magic words, arise from thy flux. If that do no good, take a handful of cumin, a kind of fennel, and a handful of crocus, and a handful of fenugreek, which is another kind of fennel, and let these be boiled in wine, and give them to her to drink, and say the magic words, arise from thy flux. And if these do no good, other doses, over 10 in number, are prescribed among them. Thus let them dig 7 ditches, in which let them burn some cuttings of vines, not yet 4 years old. Let her take in her hand a cup of wine, and let them lead her away from this ditch, and make her to sit down over that. And let them remove her from that, and make her to sit down over another, saying to her at each, remove, arise from thy flux. That's a pretty crazy idea about what it meant to treat physical ailments and sicknesses, and that's just a little sampling for you. I'm here to tell you today that when you've reached the end of your rope, I'm here to tell you that Jesus can cure.
Amen.
Jesus can cure you. For years, I believed and studied counseling and psychology, and I still study those things all the time, but we must be careful when we study and when we look and when we read and when we take in ideas and things that people tell us, because we must understand that what the ideas of man are and what the ideas and the power of God are two different things. And sometimes, and I'm not here to cast aspersions on anything, because I have books on my shelf and things that I have studied. But over the years, I have begun to read and understand that, friends, it doesn't matter what the counselors say. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what anybody says. We live in a day and a time where we're fearful. We're fearful of what the doctors say. We're fearful of that. We do everything that they tell us to do sometimes. And we're in such a quandary. Sometimes we don't know whether to turn to the left hand or turn to the right hand. And we just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And you get to a point in your life, and you get to a point in your mind, your heart, your spirit, and say, something's got to give. Something's got to change. Something's got to break loose. I can't take it anymore. I've got to have an answer for my situation. And I'm here to tell you what the answer is today. The answer is Jesus.
Right.
Somehow. Sometimes your trial and tribulation doesn't make it easy. Because you see, a woman that was in her menstruation, that could not stop her. A woman in menstruation was not allowed to touch her husband. She was not allowed to sleep with her husband. She was not allowed to have any sexual relationships with her husband. Can you imagine what it must have been like for this poor woman for 12 long years? To never be allowed to lay with her husband. To never be allowed to enjoy the sexual relationship of a marriage. To never be allowed to be intimate with her husband that she fell in love with when she was a young child. Can you imagine what it must have been like for her to go through these years of not just of pain, and that the scripture lends itself to understand, and you ladies know what I'm talking about. It wasn't just the fact that she had the inconvenience of leaking out blood all the day long, but she also had the further inconvenience of having those cramping pains day in and day out for 12 long years. This woman was in a desperate situation, living in chronic pain. This woman was in a desperate situation, living alone and estranged from her husband, and never with the hope of finding another man or being with another man, because nobody would have her in that condition. She was separated. She was broken. She had nothing left. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, it can get really bad sometimes in our lives or situations. And not only was it in that, those things against her, but a woman with an issue, a woman with a bloody flux, a woman with this condition was not allowed to step into the temple. She was not allowed into the synagogue. She was not allowed to come to church, if you will, if we can modernize it. She was not allowed
of the house of God. She couldn't enjoy the worship and music like we did today. She couldn't hear the preaching of the word like you're hearing right now. She couldn't feel what we felt today in the presence of fellow believers. She was all alone in the world. I'm here to tell you, folks, God, that you don't have to be in a church house to get a hold of God. You know, you can be out on the streets of the city in a desperate condition, but if you can feel God, if you can sense His presence, if you can see your way to Him, it doesn't matter where you are.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what you're going through. You don't have to be in a church house. How much more in a church house should we be ready to be touched? This woman found Jesus in the streets. She was in a bad way. She couldn't enjoy her marriage. She couldn't enjoy her husband. She couldn't enjoy her church. Here she was. I'm here to tell you, folks, today that sin is a despicable disease. Sin is a despicable disease, and it can eat away everything that you love in life. It can eat away at your relationships. It can eat away at your sanity. It can eat away at your connection to the church and to the body of Christ. And everything that you know is taken away from you because of the disease of sin. Something happened this woman that I want you to look at. Now I'm about to say something important in a minute. Now the first thing the scripture says in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, what have you heard about Jesus? This woman heard something good about Jesus. Let me tell you something good about Jesus today. He loves you no matter what. Jesus is the one that they brought the woman caught in an adulterous affair. And they said, the Bible said they were supposed to stone her. What did Jesus say? And then to the woman, he said, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. I want to tell you something good about Jesus today. In the Bible says his anger, Psalm chapter 30, verse 5, his anger endures but a moment. And weeping endures for a night. In his favor is life. His anger is but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I want to tell you something about Jesus today. He has one goal and one aim for your life. There was a picture that's going around the internet today. I know I was looking at it, and I don't usually repost things because there's so many things that come out. I don't have time for all that. But I saw this picture caught my eye of a Christmas photo of this family's three kids, three girls look like. And each of them were carrying large white letters, J-O-Y. And all three of those poor little girls were all screaming and crying their heads off. And when I saw that, I said, what the irony of that? We need to have a picture of that and show it at the church and let people see. I'm here to tell you folks today that there's good news. Jesus loves each and every one of us. Whether you're a woman caught in adultery, whether you're a convict about to be destroyed and killed as punishment, whether you're a beloved disciple, or whether you're a traitor, Jesus loves each and every one of us. His goal and his desire for all of our lives is to bring joy, fullness of joy to us. But before we can get there, this is what I want to say that you need to hear. Before we can get there, we've got to do what the woman that had the issue, that had the plague, did in verse 28. For she said, if I say she said, this is what she said. One of the gospel writers said, for she said within herself, there is something powerful about what you say to yourself about Jesus. Not just what you heard about Jesus. What you say to yourself about Jesus is more important than what anybody says about anything. She said to herself, she didn't have anybody else. The problem is right here where we live. The problem is right here where we live. Right here in our hearts, right here in our minds, is the determining factor on whether you will or won't get anything from God.
That's right.
When you start saying to yourself, well, I don't know if the Lord can accept me. I don't know if the Lord will take me. I don't know if the Lord wants me. You see, a mindset like that becomes impossible for God to get through. But when you start saying to yourself, I want the Holy Ghost. I want the Lord to come into my life. I'm going to go up to that altar and I'm going to open up my heart to Him. I don't care what anybody else says about me. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. I want Jesus in my life more than anything in the world. And what you say to yourself makes all the difference of eternity.
Amen.
Somebody that says to themselves, this is for me. It won't just be a few moments. And God's going to fall in their lives and change them forever.
Amen.
What I say about myself makes all the difference in the world. We live in the self-esteem generation. Let me just digress for a moment. Would you let me just digress for a moment? We live in the self-esteem generation. And I'm all for self-esteem. But we label people and we twist an understanding of that. We don't need more self-esteem in our lives. We need more God-esteem. Somebody on the church bulletin board said, don't think less of yourself. Think of yourself less. People that run themselves down, they need to think of themselves less. Amen?
Yeah.
We have swallowed the lies and the labels that people have put on us. We have said to ourselves, I'm no good. We have said to ourselves things. And while we understand that we are no good, there is no good that we can do to be accepted. God accepted us because He wanted to. Agape love is simply what God chooses to do. Who and when and where He chooses to put His favor on. When God chooses to put His love on you, it is the most powerful, esteem-building thing you will ever know in this life or the life to come.
Right.
To know that the Creator of the universe, that the God of all gods and the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, that the wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, looked at me and He said, listen, I love you. He said, James, I'm putting my love on your life. Not because you deserve it, not because you're worthy, but because I want you to have my love. Because I want you to understand how powerful it is, the love that I have for you. And it is a powerful thing when we feel the unconditional love of God flowing over us.
Amen.
this woman was about to experience that love herself. Jesus didn't have to lay his hands on her. Jesus didn't have to anoint her with oil. She didn't have to wait in a prayer line. She didn't have to wait for a special meeting. When your heart is ready, and when you are saying to yourself, now is my time, there's nothing left between you and God. We've got to take away the things that are between us and God. And most of those things that are between us and God are right here. Amen? Right here. And we have taught people, and we have shown people. There's a battle going on. There's a battle going on inside of our minds. There's a war that's waging within silence. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, 8, I see a war that is waging inside of me. That is the law of my mind that says I want to serve God. And it is the law of the flesh that tells me not to serve God. It is the law of the spirit and a mindset of spiritual things that tells me to put him first and seek his kingdom first. And all these other things will be added unto me. And then there's another mindset that's raging within me saying that I need to take care of things myself. That I can't trust God. That I need to rely on others. That I need to take care of myself first. That I need to do this and that. And then God can have his time. And there's a battle that wages in our minds. That for trusting God, and we struggle and we wrestle back and forth in our minds. Does God love me? Does God care about me? Do I need to do things? And sometimes we, especially in America, we tell people things, and we've been laughing about this picture going around the internet. You got to put your big girl panties on, and the men always say you got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and I believe all of those things, but we need to be careful. Our mindset begins to rely on the arm of flesh. When our mindset begins to rely on carnal strength and wealth and wisdom, we are heading for a wreck. We are heading for a cataclysmic, destructive moment in our lives. We must cast our cares on Him. We must put our trust in Him. We must say to ourselves, if I can touch Jesus' clothes, I know that I'm going to be okay. Whatever it is that you've got to say to yourself to get to God, you need to start saying it in your mind. And you need to let God help you with that. Let the spirit of faith stir inside of you. Faith is nothing more than God's guarantee. He puts it in our heart. He puts it in our minds. And we start feeling things. And we think, oh, why did God let me feel that? Why did God let me think that? Why am I going through that? Why do I think that this is going to happen? I'll tell you why. God puts it in you because He sees that He's going to do it. When God says He's going to do something, your job is to believe it and hang on to it. Say when you're out in the wilderness and you get lost, the worst thing you can do is try to find your way out. Yeah. Isn't that what they say? You had to, they say the harder you try to get out, the loster you get. And the further you stray away from where anybody could possibly find you. We've got so many people trying to solve problems with worldly situations. And they get further and further away from God. And they run around and they burn themselves out and they lose themselves. We need to be like Job when everything goes against us. We don't need to go looking for help. We need to plop down on the ground and we need to say, God, I'm not moving until I hear a word from you.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Jacob tried in the Old Testament. He ran. He lied. He cheated. And he ran. He did everything sideways and sneaky like. And the further he ran away from God, the more difficult his life became. And the more he tried to snivel his way out of things, the more problems he arose and that he started for himself. And it just got worse and worse and worse until his heart couldn't take it anymore. more. And of course, as things always go, he found himself face to face with the reality that he was about to have to deal with the one thing that he had been running from all of his life, and that was the anger of his brother that he had cheated of. And in that moment of his life, he got alone with God, and he called on God, and something changed in his life.
Amen.
That night. He wrestled, the Bible says, with an angel to the breaking of day. And God reached into his life and changed him. Why? Because something changed in his mind. What he was saying to himself changed. He was saying to himself, I can run. I can run. I can get around this. I can escape from this. Moses, the Bible says, tried to figure things out on his own. God said, I'm going to make you a deliverer. What did Moses try to do? He tried to do it on his own. Wound up becoming a murderer because he had a bad temper and got himself in trouble with Pharaoh and had to run for his life. And for 40 years, he thought, you know what? I've done made it. Brother Patrick, I've done got out here and I've escaped from my mistakes of the past. And they can't never catch up with me out here. And here I am, just living my happy little, pretty little life. And not even God can find me out here on the backside of this desert. But I'm here to tell you in just a few moments of meeting with God, Moses was on his way back to face the very thing that he had been trying to run from all of his life. And now I don't care where you go or what you try, one of these days, you're going to come face to face with God. One of these days, you're going to come face to face with your problem and your trial. The best for you is just to sit down in the presence of God and say, God, I don't know why you're doing this to me. God, I don't know the mistakes that I have made. God, I don't know why all this is happening, but I'm not going anywhere until I hear a word from the Lord.
Amen.
God came to this woman's heart. Something changed inside. And it wasn't something that the doctors could do for her. But her mindset became, you know what, I need to do something for myself. I need to do something for myself. And not just trying to figure out. I need to get up and go touch Jesus. Quote, she had heard, no doubt, as Luke records for us, that many had been crowding around him and just by touching his clothes had been healed. She had heard about Jesus. That somehow she had heard that if she touched his clothes that she would be made whole. And she said to herself, this is what I've been waiting for. I'm here to tell you today, church, Jesus is what this world has been waiting for.
Amen.
Even after you've been serving God for years, he's still the answer. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized in His name, repenting of your sins are such amazing and liberating experiences. When God sets you free from the chains of condemnation and guilt, when God sets you free from the failures and mistakes of the past, when He guarantees and shows you your eternal destination and puts promises into your life, it is an amazing, amazing time.
Yes, it is.
It's not a one-time experience.
Sure.
It's not a once-in-a-lifetime situation. And as you get on down the road, you know, when Peter had met Jesus, and Peter had been walking with Jesus for years, and Peter had seen the miracles and performed miracles himself. And towards the end of Christ's ministry on earth, what did Christ say to Peter?
You will betray me three times. Or go to
earth. After all that.
After all that. You're going to die with your time.
He got out of the seaside, fed him some broiled fish. And he started asking, Peter,
do you love me?
Peter, do you love me? And of course, the Greek is much more poetic and much more insightful because if I can retranslate it, Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you choose me? Peter. And Peter said, Lord, you know I filio you. You know I'm your friend. And then Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? Do you choose me? Peter said, Lord, you know I'm your friend. And then Jesus, with a touch of skepticism and sarcasm, says, Peter, are you my friend? And Peter said, Lord, you know I agape you. Lord, you know I choose you. Why was he so afraid to commit himself? Why was he so afraid to let Christ engage him intimately like that? And Jesus said, when you are converted. Somewhere in there he says it to him. I may have the stories all mixed up, but when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. Even after we've been following Jesus for years, we still have times when we need to have our thoughts converted. Paul said that we need to bring every thought into captivity to the knowledge of Christ. This woman said to herself, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be made whole. I don't know what it is you've got to say to yourself to understand that Jesus is on your side. I don't know what it is you've got to say to yourself that this is for you, that this is what God has called you to, that this gift is for each and every one of us. I don't know what you've got to say to yourself to get yourself to understand that the gift of the Holy Ghost is for you. There was a group of Bible study students at the turn of the 20th century, and the Bible and history says that they gathered together. They've been reading the Bible, and they read Acts where it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. And they said, man, we've never experienced that. We've never even heard of that before. Is that really real? Or how does all that work? And history says they got together and they started to fast. And this was over in Kansas. And they started to pray. And for 3 days they fasted and prayed, asking God if this experience was still for us today. If God still worked miracles today. If God still poured his spirit out today like he did in the book of Acts. And history says on the third day that the Holy Spirit fell in that little Bible college room where they were fasting and praying. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, just like they were at Pentecost. I'm here to tell you today, hallelujah, it doesn't matter how many years you've paddled with those thoughts. It doesn't matter how many decades that you have wrestled with your health. It doesn't matter how long. How many different ways you tried to solve your problems to no avail. It doesn't matter because Jesus is still on the throne. He's still interceding for the people of God even 2,000 years later. Let's all stand together this morning. Even this morning, God's power is still ready to be released. All we have to do is say something to ourselves. This is for me. Job sat there. He sat there. He did not move. The Bible doesn't even say how long he sat there. The Bible says his friends came. Well, for 3 days they sat there and looked at him like he was an idiot. The Bible says he opened up his mouth and he cursed. The day he was born. He cursed everything that he could think of to curse without cursing and getting himself in trouble. But he stayed right there where he was. And his friends belittled him and accused him. And his wife belittled him and made fun of him. And then of all things, to add insult to injury, a young man came and reproved him. And the young man was right. Pointed out a true flaw in his life. But you know what Job did? Stay right there. Through it all, he hung on. He said, I don't care if the skin worms devour my body. I'm going to see him. I'm not going to turn my back. The Bible says that all the things that he said, all the things that he felt, did not lose his integrity with God. We live in a day and time where parents and teachers in our community teaches us things that when trials and tribulations come our way, we think there's something wrong with us. And when it doesn't come easy, we're ready to throw in the towel. Some of us give up on one prayer. Well, God didn't heal me. We know what you were thinking when we came up with prayer. I didn't get the Holy Ghost again. But we know what you were thinking when you came to church this morning. We got to let faith spark inside of us, and if God doesn't answer, and you need to get a hold of the horns of the altar, so to speak, and when you say, God, I'm not going to let you go until you do what you put in my heart that I know you said you're going to do. I'm going to hang on to it till the last breath that I breathe. Job sat there, and the Bible says a tornado came down the field. There wasn't anything left for the tornado to destroy, but it was just ripping up the dirt, lightning and wind, darkness and clouds. Came right up to Job. You know what Job did? He was hoping it would suck him up. Just kill me, God. Sit right there. And God spoke to him out of the tornado. Bible calls him a whirlwind. Where were you, Job? Stretched out stars. Where were you when I weighed out the oceans? Where were you when I created every living, breathing thing? Tell me if you can explain it to me. You know what Job said? He said, I'm an idiot, God. I ain't saying nothing else. God changed Job's life, changed the situation, turned everything around for him when he humbled himself before the Lord. And he even forgave his friends of their mistakes. And the Bible says, when God forgave his friends, because he had quite the thought process going on. Why did God do this to me? Why did God let this happen? How come my friends aren't encouraging me? They are just troublemakers. They're not really. I mean, he had all these thoughts just battling back and forth inside of his mind. The Bible says at the end of Job, when he forgave his friends, that God turned his captivity around. Not before. But after. What does that have to do with anything? I'm here to tell you that God is on your side. The Bible says he gave him double what he had before. He gave him twice as many children, twice as much flocks, twice as much property for harvests. That would also mean that he gave him twice as much favor in the community. That would also mean that he made her twice as wise. Wouldn't it? God, when God does it, he will do it halfway. She said to herself, if I can tell, what are you saying to yourself about your walk with God? What are you saying to yourself today about what God wants to do in your life? Do you really think God cares about you? Do you really think God cares what you're going through? Do you really think he's got enough power to change your situation?
Yes. Hallelujah.
When you say to yourself that word of faith that you need to say to yourself to get your understanding about how big God is and how awesome his love is for you, that he sent his only son to suffer in our place at Calvary, when you can say that to yourself like you need to, Bible says she reached out through the press. God would just come down. The Bible says she had to press her way through the crowd. She had to fight her way through the crowd. and she just got a grab on his clothing. And the Bible says that straightway. You know what that means? That means right now, immediately, her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. I'm telling you, it's one thing to get filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a major life-transforming experience to be saved by God's grace. When you've been walking for the Lord for so many years, and you've been telling yourself all kinds of stupid stuff, and you get in the presence of God, and you say, God, I'm tired of saying all this stupid stuff and being all this stupid stuff. God, I want you to come in and take all this stupid stuff out of me and make me smart in the spiritual things. God, change my life. And the Holy Ghost comes on you and pulls things out of you and wrenches weeds out of your landscaping, and he pulls things out of your heart and life. And you cry and you weep before him, and you come out of that experience and you know when God speaks into your life, it's not just to be saved, but he puts his Holy Spirit in you, carry you day by day by day. I'm here to tell you as a witness and as a testimony that God speaks to you even after you get home. I'm here as a witness and a testimony to tell you that God speaks to you even after you've been looking for him for decades. Here to tell you as a testimony that you can struggle and carry things around with you even after you're saved, but God can still find you and speak a word into your life. And when he changes you, when he speaks that word, when his virtue, his power goes out into you, it immediately changes every single aspect of that circumstance. She was straightway immediately made whole. And she knew it. Her blood was dry. The crowd was moving on down the street, and the woman was just standing there. She was saying, I've been changed.
Hallelujah.
Everybody else was still pushing and shoving, and Jesus, when the woman stopped, Jesus stopped. When the woman stopped, Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? Because I have felt my power go out of me. Something drained away from me and into somebody in this crowd. 12 years of suffering, angst, pain, embarrassment, shame, torture. Removed from her life in just a moment when she said to herself, somebody in here needs to come down to this altar and say something to yourself today. There's one thing that makes me cry and weep before the Lord, and that is when I see somebody filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a beautiful thing. There's something else that makes me cry and weep before the Lord, and that is when I see somebody, notably somebody who's already been saved, when I see God reach inside of their minds and their hearts and change them the way that they think. He removes the frown from their face, puts a smile on his face. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else that wants to come and pray today? I know what your mama told you may mean a lot to you. But what are you telling yourself? And what did mama tell you? Does it agree with what the Bible says can take place in your life? I know that grandpa and grandma, maybe they pointed you in the right path, and maybe you're right to follow that path. But if it doesn't agree with what the Bible says, you need to lay that aside and get a hold of something better. I know that the world tells you this is okay, you can do this. And sometimes we swallow things that the world tells us. It only makes us sick in our souls. If it doesn't agree with what the Bible says, you need to spit it out. And you need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Sometimes the doctors tell us things. They very well may be right. They may not even know they're just doing the best that they can. But no matter what the doctors say, cannot negate what the Bible says. Lord Jesus, we come to you today. We bring ourselves and our hearts and our lives before you right now.